If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Another brilliant and exciting weekend of professional wrestling has passed us. Crown Jewel, Bound for Glory, some great moments that we will never forget, some moments that we are grateful to have witnessed. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ringside Chaos. This is the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast. You all know me, Alex Alcazaz, aka the Bear of Texas, a lifelong passionate fan of professional wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to give some of my thoughts on what we witnessed this past weekend in terms of the art of professional wrestling. Now, first of all, thank y'all very, very much for being so patient and understanding with me during the time that this show went on a bit of a hiatus. Running several shows and working a full-time job and dealing with life's issues and drama is not an easy thing. But once again, I am so grateful to everyone that remained loyal to the show, even though I had not done an episode for, well, about 2 months. I did an episode last week about, of course, the Hardy Boys becoming the NXT Tag Team Champions, and of course, the match that they had yesterday at Bound for Glory, which I'll get to. You know, all this, what we see, this is why I love professional wrestling. Now, I did not watch Crown Jewel, and unfortunately, I did not watch Bound for Glory. I did see some highlights, thankfully, but in my case, I try to gather as much notes as I can because the show has to go on. And another thing that everybody's been so understanding is that my inability to watch the shows and everything. You know, I've been told by several fans, Alex, just give it your best. You got this. And once again, I'm so thankful for all of you out there. I love y'all. Well, the one thing I want to talk about, obviously, is Seth Rollins, but not exactly what happened at Crown Jewel, but what happened on Raw after Crown Jewel, which I understand actually just recently got finished because, of course, this took place in Australia. Well, Crown Jewel, to be honest with you, the match I was most excited about was not Seth Rollins versus Cody Rhodes, although I was excited about it. I just wasn't the most excited about that one. The match I was most excited about was John Cena versus AJ Styles. And what a match that was. 27 minutes of just great in-ring action. A match that we have waited for years and years and years and years to see. And I am so grateful. AJ Styles, you know, the wrestling gear that he was wearing, the blue and white trunks that are very similar to ones that he wore on the very first episode of Impact on Spike TV when he was wrestling for TNA Wrestling. The first episode of Impact on Spike TV that aired October 1st, 2005. Man, and according to notes, John Cena handed a note to ring announcer Alicia Taylor, and of course, you know, included the introduction, the references to AJ Styles' time with TNA Wrestling, the Bullet Club during the time from New Japan. Man, so John Cena was honoring and acknowledging AJ Styles. Not to mention, during the match, John Cena paid tribute to several wrestlers by performing their wrestling moves, the likes of Bray Wyatt, The Undertaker, Randy Orton, Chris Jericho. I think, you know, almost attempted a pedigree. John Cena was honoring many wrestlers that he has had the privilege to work with throughout his career. That match between John Cena and AJ Styles was great. Now, everyone's still wondering who's John Cena's last opponent going to be. Many insist it should be Randy Orton. Right now, I feel like it's going to be Brock Lesnar because of what we saw at SummerSlam 2005, right? after John Cena lost the title back to Cody Rhodes in what was a hell of a street fight, which I do regret never having a chance to actually watch the match and much less talk about it. I've missed out on so much professional wrestling as of late. Now, I can always go back, I'm sure, and watch it, but again, you know, because of my work and everything else I got going on in life, you know, I hardly have any free time, and I'm getting ready to actually go on vacation, so this is like the first time in over 7 months that I've actually had some free time to actually, you know, go out and have some fun. So, but anyway, back to this. Well, you know, not to mention, Johnson even paid tribute to The Miz. He performed a skull-crushing finale, and I love that he performed The Walls of Jericho. He performed Sister Abigail, you know, to honor the late Bray Wyatt. Man. You know, and not to mention, I mean, John Cena honored many wrestlers that he worked with. AJ Styles did the exact same thing. Executed the angel wings that Christopher Daniels made famous. So AJ Styles honored the likes of Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, even Samoa Joe, Sting, and Shawn Michaels. Man, what a match. What a match. Both wrestlers. The great in-ring chemistry that they showed, and the most amazing and entertaining thing that I saw was all the wrestlers that those two guys honored. AJ Styles and John Cena honored many of the guys that are huge names in the business and guys that they have worked with in the past. And I can honestly say, AJ Styles and John Cena, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you for the amazing match. I'm very, very grateful. I mean, I'm so grateful to both these guys. And AJ Styles, you know, the fact that I grew up only watching WWE, and when AJ Styles was becoming bigger and bigger and bigger, and I wanted to grow as a wrestling fan and be more educated, I would spend some time watching and reading and researching about TNA wrestling and New Japan and seeing a lot of the stuff that AJ Styles did. Man. And then when AJ Styles arrived in WWE almost 10 years ago, man, that's when I knew I had to do my homework on AJ Styles. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. So, now the opening match in this one was Bronson Reed versus Roman Reigns in an Australian street fight. And it doesn't surprise me that Bronson Reed picked up the win in this one. I believe not long ago, this was actually the second encounter. This was Bronson's second encounter with the original Tribal Chief. And I forget which PLE it was. I don't know if it was the last one, but I'm actually going to see if I can look up. Now, the last match was actually Elimination Chamber, and that actually took place in Germany. I'm not sure if that was actually the previous encounter between Roman Reigns and Bronson Reed. According to this, no, it was not. So I'm not sure exactly when was the last time that they went at it. So, but I think in the previous encounter, Roman Reigns got the win. So obviously it made sense for Bronson Reed to even the score, especially considering that this was taking place in Australia. Well, it ended after Jey Uso accidentally speared Roman Reigns through a table, which allowed Bronson Reed to take advantage by performing the tsunami on the original Tribal Chief and getting the win. Then, of course, what we saw in the aftermath, Roman Reigns was unhappy with the Usos, and he told them, you know, stay out, I got this, I'm going to do this on my own. And if I remember correctly, I think it was Jimmy that's insisting, you know, we were just trying to help, you know. And I mean, we see this a lot of times, you know, in professional wrestling. A wrestler tells his guys, you know, stay back, I got this, but they come out anyway, and it backfires, it blows up in all their faces. So right now, obviously, the future between the Usos and Roman Reigns is in question. One of my good friends, Jose, who's also a lifelong fan of professional wrestling and someone I really want to get on this show, who, by the way, I want to acknowledge for actually giving me some insight on what happened, he believes that this is going to be a chance in the future to kind of redo a match, a WrestleMania match between Jimmy and Jay, because the last time they did, that match between Jimmy and Jay was horrible. So this will be the chance to actually redo it and hopefully this time make it right. But Jose says that it's beneficial for Jimmy and Jay to be on separate brands. But also, right now, the question is about Roman Reigns moving forward. Who knows? Roman Reigns, I think, recently made his return because he was away for a while. He was actually making a movie. I believe it was the Street Fighter film. So right now, I don't know what the future has in store for Roman Reigns, but we'll see. But the match between Bronson Reed and Roman Reigns, I mean, the way it ended, obviously, is going to keep a story going. So we'll see what happens. So I'm curious to see what happens with the original Tribal Chief moving forward and the Usos. I do believe that Jey Uso is actually really headed towards a heel turn. So we'll see. So because last time when Jimmy and Jey wrestled, Jey was the face, but Jimmy was the heel. So I feel like the next time Jimmy and Jey Uso go at it at WrestleMania, it's going to be reversed. Jimmy's going to be the face while Jey is going to be the heel. So, but we'll see. Stephanie Vaquer beat Tiffany Stratton in a singles match for the WWE Women's Crown Jewel Championship. Stephanie Vaquer, I believe, became the first wrestler to actually win four titles in 1 year. One source on the internet mentioned that. I believe she won the NXT North American Women's Championship and then became the NXT Women's Championship, the NXT Women's Champion. And then, of course, she's the current Raw Women's World Champion, and now she's the WWE Women's Crown Jewel Champion. So, man. So they're obviously heavily pushing Stephanie Vaquer to the moon. And some people feel like, you know, they're really rushing it with Stephanie Vaquer. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, things so far seem to be working, right? Although I've not really been able to pay attention to day-to-day WWE programming. So I'm not sure what to say if it's true, whether or not WWE is pushing Stephanie Vaquer to the moon way too fast. I mean, I don't know. But so far, from what I understand, things seem to be going well, right? But for those of you that have been watching and keeping up with WWE on a weekly, constant basis, let me know in the comments on Spotify if you believe that WWE is rushing Stephanie Vaquer, why or why not, or if things are actually going well. Again, let me know. Io Sky teamed up with Rhea Ripley to defeat the Kabuki Warriors. I think, you know, obviously as of late, Asuka and Kairi Sane turned on Io Sky. So, not sure exactly, you know, what the future has in store for any of that, but obviously the main event, Seth Rollins versus Cody Rhodes for the WWE Crown Jewel Championship. Cody Rhodes did previously win the Crown Jewel Championship before, so I'm not surprised that Seth Rollins actually got the win. I was actually expecting Cody to, but I think with Seth Rollins recently losing the match with CM Punk, you know, AJ Lee and CM Punk versus Becky Lynch and Rollins, so I feel like they had to actually have Rollins win in order to get over again. Although he was still over. I would imagine. I mean, yeah, he was obviously still over, but I feel like they just decided, well, we need him to win this one to keep Rollins at the level that he is. As far as, you know, his status as a heel. But if that makes sense. So not surprisingly, that was the main event. Man. Obviously, Rollins was, you know, dealing obviously with a hostile crowd. I mean, they were calling him, you know, a wanker pretty much the entire time. So, man. You know, at one point, you know, how Rollins, you know, performed a pedigree, a crossroads of his own, and even a curb stomp on Cody. And, man. So, eventually, Rollins got the win. So, you know, first of all, when I was talking to my friend Jose about it, I mean, well, was it because of interference from the Vision stable? But, well, according to Jose, no, that wasn't the case. So, man. Boy. And, you know, what's funny about this one, you know, is Rollins entered the match wearing a wristwatch that Rhodes had previously gifted him and then even and took it off before the match began. So, and later on, Rollins retrieved the watch, wrapped it around his fist, and used it to strike Rhodes after the referee was distracted, and followed up by, I think, two curb stomps to secure the win. So again, Seth Rollins had to win this one, but again, yeah, Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker did not get involved, but although I am actually curious about how the distraction happened. So again, I have to do this episode on the fly, so I mean, I was watching as many highlights as I can, but I didn't actually get a chance to see the highlights, you know, from this one. But man, then after that, obviously Triple H presented Rollins with the Crown Jewel ring and the championship belt, and Rollins obviously cut a promo and declared himself the greatest of all time. So, man, and of course, yeah, of course there was that pose. They do the pose with the Women's Crown Jewel champion. And Rollins actually warned Stephanie Vaquer that his wife, Becky Lynch, was coming for a title. Well, of course he did. So, now, I am really curious exactly how the whole thing ended with Cody. Was like, how this particular distraction took place. But, you know, I wonder if Bleacher Report can actually provide the answer, but I'm not entirely sure. Again, this is all done on the fly, so. But Crown Jewel, again, you know, from everybody that I've spoken to, it was a great show. I've not spoken to my friend and business partner, Ricky, a.k.a. the Master of Mayhem, about it. I'm sure that he watched the show, but Ricky's been dealing with a lot lately. And again, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with my friend Ricky. But man, again, you know, the match was just, you know, was incredible. But again, you know, this particular source that I have opened up doesn't mention it. So, yeah, it's just, you know, weird that, you know, didn't really think about it from here. But looking from here, well, from that, well, sorry, kind of losing my thought for a little bit for a second, so I apologize. But I've gotten obsessed exactly about this particular distraction. But again, I feel like the ending of the match, you know, certainly went in a certain way. So although it says, you know, here, notable moments and observations from the match. Yeah, that Rollins was getting mad and distracted with Wade Barrett and Cole is the kind of rookie mistake his character shouldn't be making. But, so, well, looking at it from here, yeah, every match, obviously, every match that Seth Rollins and Cody have had have been great. Of course, WrestleMania several years ago, the Hell in a Cell match. So for Rollins to finally get a win over Cody Rhodes, I mean, well, I think it's because, you know, Rollins put Rhodes over several times before. So in my case, I would say that, well, I guess Cody Rhodes decided to return the favor and was obviously willing to return the favor. I mean, Cody always does what's best for business, and Cody is known for putting other wrestlers over. So, man. Yeah, also says, yeah, both men took some big risks and had some close calls on the way to the finish. Rollins eventually used the watch as a weapon behind the ref's back before hitting a super stomp for the pin to become the men's crown jewel champion. So, yeah, it doesn't even show, you know. So, again, this particular distraction, I'm just not exactly sure how it happened. So, again, if you're listening on Spotify, let me know in the comments exactly how this particular distraction happened. So, well, before I get to Bound for Glory, well, what happened on Monday Night Raw? Well, obviously, from what I want to talk about is that CM Punk actually won a triple threat match to become the number one contender for Rollins' championship. But Raw was opened up with Rollins cutting a massive promo. And what happened at the very end of the show? Well, Rollins cutting a promo saying that he's never, ever needed anybody. He's the best, you know, pretty much. Same thing, you know, a heel would say, but, you know, again, you know, for Rollins to say, you know, to say that, well, again, it's no surprise. But, man, so obviously the show, you know, this show actually aired at 8 a.m. Eastern Time in North America. Man. So, obviously, the show starting off with Rollins, obviously, I mean, the crowd still wasn't having it. I mean, the crowd was chanting, Seth is a wanker, and the crowd even popped when he called them the same thing, according to Bleacher Report. And, you know, Rollins actually, this point, he gave Paul Heyman a kiss on the head, and Rollins got a huge pop for that. The crowd even chanted for him to do it. Man. So Rollins, again, cut a promo saying he has done everything on his own, which the crowd chanted, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Of course, Seth Rollins, insisting he's always had to do it on his own. I mean, hey, back in 2014, when he won the Money in the Bank briefcase, it's because Kane helped him. Hey, I was at the, you know, doing his time with the authorities, so yeah. So Rollins, you know, saying he has done everything on his own. He said that he didn't need the Shield. I think he said the Shield needed him. I know he said that he didn't need the Shield, or he said that Roman Reigns needed the Shield or something like that, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he had said, I didn't need the Shield needed me. Or Roman Reigns needed the Shield, Roman Reigns needed me, yada, yada, yada. I mean, he mentioned that Roman Reigns needed the blood. Yeah, he actually, okay, now I think I'm remembering it. Because I watched this before I did this, before I started doing this recording. Rollins said that Roman Reigns needed the Shield, Roman Reigns needed the bloodline. something like that. So, I mean, Rollins again claimed he's never needed anybody and he has chosen to align with the men in the ring because he's a visionary. So basically he's saying that I've never needed anybody, but people have needed me. So again, you know, typical heel, especially from a brilliant, unique, creative heel like Seth Rollins. I mean, I've said it many, many times. Seth Rollins is truly a unique one of a kind. What that means is that he's the kind of guy that can do extremely well as both a face and as a heel. Rollins cuts great promos whether he's a good guy or a bad guy as far as his character goes. A lot of wrestlers are like that, but there are a lot of wrestlers that are better as faces than heels, and some wrestlers that are better as heels than faces. In other words, some wrestlers are much better being the bad guy than the good guy, and some wrestlers are better at being the good guy and the bad guy. You know, come to think of it, Rey Mysterio never had a villainous turn, right? So, based on what happened at the very end of this episode of Raw, you know, I love how Bleacher Report says, and I quote, "Depending on how you read into it, this segment might have planted some seeds for Breaker to eventually feud with Rollins over the world title. This was a decent promo, but it was surprising nobody interrupted it. That's not a bad thing, just an observation," unquote. So, yeah, I agree, but, you know, I always mention, now that we're getting to the end, I mean, how Bleacher Report, you know, again, in their Raw results and their grades, how at the very end, what happened, they call it the final word. So again, after CM Punk won a triple threat match to become the number one contender for Rollins' title, well, after I definitely never would expect what happened to happen this soon. So again, you know, they attacked CM Punk and they threw him out of the ring. All of a sudden, Braun Breaker delivers a spear to Seth Rollins, much to the shock of everyone. Although I think the crowd was actually cheering, if I'm correct. I mean, again, I'm so excited and overwhelmed with adrenaline and excitement that it's hard for me to remember it, especially when I'm doing things on the fly and the pressure and everything is just getting to me. But, man, so all of a sudden, you know, we think when Rollins has officially cemented himself as the top dog on Raw and Steve Saff everything he could ever want, which means his eventual downfall is going to be even bigger. And that's, again, based on words from Bleacher Report. So, as Punk was celebrating, again, Rollins' music hit and he came out with a vision. Breaker took out Jey Uso and Knight. I mean, those were the other two competitors. So CM Punk beat Jey Uso and LA Knight to become their number one contender. It was a triple threat match for the number one contenders match to see who would get to fight Rollins next. Punk is celebrating and then, of course, obviously the vision comes out. I mean, Breaker took out Jey and Knight with spears as Reed and Rollins helped surround the ring. So after CM Punk was taken out, well, that's when it happened. I mean, Braun Breaker shocked the world by taking out Rollins with a spear, and Paul Heyman looked absolutely shocked. And he was even more surprised that Bronson Reed, you know, because I think Braun Breaker got up and basically told Bronson Reed that you need to make a choice. So you're either with me or you're with Rollins. And Bronson Reed wasted little time by dragging Seth Rollins near the turnbuckle, getting onto the top turnbuckle, and performing a tsunami on Rollins. And then at that point, when Braun Breaker forced Paul Heyman to join him or suffer the consequences, I mean, this is just like, you know, after the implosion of the bloodline when Paul Heyman didn't know what side to be on, whether to be on Solo's side or Roman Reigns' side. I mean, so Paul Heyman's once again back in that situation. But I got to tell you, after Paul Heyman, when he lifted the arms of both Bronson Reed and Braun Breaker, Paul Heyman gave Seth Rollins a certain look. But right now, I don't know what side Paul Heyman's on right now. Because again, as Bleacher Report says, and I quote, "Breaker basically forced Heyman to join him or suffer the consequences. And the show ended with the three of them standing over Rollins," unquote. So, man. So, again, obviously, now we got to see how Seth Rollins reacts to this. I mean, Seth Rollins earlier on said he never needed anybody, all right? But Yeah, I think he even basically called Bronson Reed as the new tribal chief or something like that. But again, at the beginning of the show, Rollins cut a good promo and said that he has never needed anybody, that he was always done it on his own. So basically, like, well, and I mentioned how Bleacher Report said that this plants seeds, right? So Bron Breakker turns on Rollins. I mean, for Rollins to say that he's never needed anybody, Bron Breakker could say, well, you claim that you don't need us? Well, guess what, Seth? We don't need you. I would not be surprised if Bron Breakker said something with the likes of that on his promo to address why he did what he did. So if Bron Breakker were to cut a promo and say that Rollins claims that he's never needed anybody, well, guess what? I don't need him. We don't need him. This company doesn't need him. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he took it that far. I mean, again, Bron Breakker, you know, becoming a massive heel. So again, this is to counter what heel Rollins says in a promo, that he's never needed anybody. So now all of a sudden he's going to be told, well, we don't need you. So it's like, it's basically Rollins kind of getting a taste of his own medicine in a sense, right? So it only makes sense for Bron Breakker to cut a promo in that sort of tone to say that, you know, Rollins claims he didn't need us. Guess what? We don't need him. So now, just imagine this. Imagine if CM Punk beats Rollins in that fight, and then CM Punk all of a sudden becomes the leader of the Vision. That would actually be, I'm not going to lie, I would actually love that, but I don't see that happening. I mean, I predicted that Seth Rollins would drop the belt to CM Punk at WrestleMania next year. So, but again, anything could happen. I mean, so, but as far as CM Punk turning heel, I mean, some would say that right now that would be a huge mistake on WWE's part. But if CM Punk were to win the world title against Rollins when he finally has the match, which I'm not sure when it's going to happen, but as far as I'm concerned, well, if CM Punk does win the title, well, imagine if he wins the title because let's say Breakker and Heyman and Bronson Reed get involved, and then all of a sudden, like, yeah, what happens? Then he wins the title, and then all of a sudden, he aligns himself with the Vision stable. I mean, again, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm just trying to pull up every possible theory. Now, look at this previous match. Event for WWE. I'm looking at it. It was actually No Mercy. So I'm looking at Crown Jewel. So the next one is Halloween Havoc, but that's an NXT event. Halloween Havoc. So that's not where Rollins is gonna defend the title against CM Punk. Then of course we have a Saturday Night's main event in November in Salt Lake City. John Cena. Then that's gonna be John Cena's retirement match. So, and then of course there's WWE Evolution. Well, hold on. I think I'm looking at the wrong. I think I clicked on the wrong one. But Oh, hold on. Now. Yeah. Sorry about that. I got momentarily distracted, but I'm trying to look at it from here. Upcoming pay-per-view for WWE. So I'm not sure. Again, I'm not sure exactly when Rollins will fight CM Punk. I'm actually putting it up right now. Fight Seth Rollins. So when will CM Punk fight Seth Rollins? Well, CM Punk scheduled itself on October 13th, but today is October 13th. So, again, I'm not sure exactly. Okay, the date of the CM Punk versus Rollins WWE match revealed. And this is according to WrestleTalk.com. It says, okay, according to Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, the next World Heavyweight Championship encounter between Rollins and CM Punk is planned for the upcoming Saturday night's main event on November 1st. Well, in that particular case, again, yeah, I don't know what to expect from that one, but I don't expect Seth Rollins to drop the belt to CM Punk. Now, if it happens in the next Saturday Night Main Event, then great. I'm certainly looking forward to it, and hopefully I get to watch it. But, well, considering I don't work Sundays anymore, but then again, I do have a commitment on Sunday morning, so I think I'll be able to actually watch Saturday Night's Main Event, especially because, you know, I open Saturdays and then I'm off on Sundays. But yeah, so. We'll see. But right now, I'm excited to see what Seth Rollins has, what the future has in store for Seth Rollins, what the future has in store for the Visionary, the Architect. But are people asking, is Seth Rollins officially a face? I don't know if he's officially a face yet. I mean, now people will say, well, he was attacked, he was betrayed, right? So people say now, yeah. Speaking of earlier, I mentioned getting a taste of his own medicine. I mean, remember when he betrayed the Shield? So, yeah. But now, as far as something like this happening, I think it happened. I think Seth Rollins, I mean, I never expected him to be the one betrayed. To be honest with you, I thought that Seth Rollins would be the one to betray Bron Breakker. So the way I had envisioned it is that eventually Rollins turns on Bron Breakker, and then Bron Breakker turns face and feuds with Rollins in the Vision stable. That didn't happen. So, but right now, I really don't think Bronson or Bron Breakker are the leaders of the Vision. I mean, right now, obviously, it seems that Bron Breakker is assuming the leadership for now. But if Seth freaking Rollins turns face, and then CM Punk turns heel at Saturday Night's Main Event and becomes the champion, then at that point, I would say it probably does make sense for CM Punk to assume leadership of the Vision stable, and for Paul Heyman to actually take CM Punk's side. So again, anything could happen from this particular situation, but I just don't know what to expect. And again, the element of surprise is what I just basically remind everybody of. So let's just sit back and we'll see what happens. So, and of course, when it happens, I hope to be back on the show to talk about it. And obviously, I think I'll have no choice, so I'll be here. All right. So now we wrap up a little bit of the WWE talk. Now I'm gonna give a little bit of thought about Bound for Glory. Well, we have a new TNA International Champion. Steve Macklin defeated Frankie Kazarian. Although Frankie Kazarian and Nick Nemeth co-won the 22-person Intergender Collier Shaw Gauntlet. The winner receives a trophy and a contract they can invoke anytime within 1 year for a championship match of their choosing. So Frankie Kazarian and Nick Nemeth co-won by last eliminating each other. So I don't even know what to say about that. This was a 22-person Intergender Collier Shaw Gauntlet match, where again, the winner, there's even an S in a parenthesis, the winners receive a trophy and a contract they can invoke any time within 1 year for a championship match of their choosing. So because there were two winners, the co-winners, I don't even know what to say about that. I don't even know how it's going to happen, but I will definitely do my best to pay attention to see what happens. And, well, we'll see. Again, the element of surprise, ladies and gentlemen. Kalani Jordan defeated Indy Hartwell to retain the TNA Knockouts World Championship. The System defeated Order 4 in a 10-person Intergender Hardcore War. The System, Moose, Alicia Edwards, Brian Myers, and Eddie Edwards, and JDC, beating the Order 4, Mustafa Ali, Tasha Steeles, Special Agent Zero, Jason Hotch, and John Skyler. Leon Slater versus Javon Evans, a singles match for the TNA X Division Championship ended in a no contest, and Mike Santana becoming the TNA World Heavyweight Champion by defeating Trick Williams in the main event of Bound for Glory. Mike Santana has worked for this moment his entire life and his entire career, and I'm very, very happy for the man. Mike Santana becoming the TNA World Heavyweight Champion is definitely a impact moment that will not only be remembered not only in TNA wrestling, but it'll be remembered in pro wrestling, period. Mike Santana, I watched a lot of what he's done in Impact, you know, during his time at LAX, teaming with Ortiz, of course, his time with the Inner Circle in AEW. As a matter of fact, Mike Santana competed in one of the best main events that I have witnessed in person. That was in 2019 when he and Ortiz took on the Young Bucks and the AEW Dynamite main event in a Texas street fight, and the winner would become number one contenders for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. Santana and Ortiz and the Young Bucks were in the second best main event that I have personally witnessed in my life. The first one is obviously the Von Erichs, Ross and Marshall Von Erich defeating 5150. That's the best main event I've ever personally witnessed, but Santana and Ortiz and the Young Bucks, you know what? Even though it might be second, still, it's a moment that I will never forget. Many congratulations to Mike Santana on becoming the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. You have worked hard for this moment, and damn it, you deserve it. Congratulations to you, sir, and God bless you. Obviously, the match that I was most excited about, the Hardy Boys beating the Dudley Boys, or Team 3D, in a tables match that contested the TNA World Tag Team Championship and the NXT World Tag Team Championship. So obviously my prediction didn't come true because I thought the Dudley Boys would win, but I think of the original pick, I had the Hardy Boys, but then in the last episode, I picked the Dudley Boys, so I changed it. So the Hardy Boys won the match, and you know what was so amazing is that Spike Dudley actually appeared at the show. He was actually on the side of Team 3D. Now, as far as him being involved in the match, I'm actually curious. Did he get involved in the match? So let's see. Let's see if Bleacher Report. Okay, Bleacher Report obviously did a great on that. So I'm actually curious if Spike Dudley actually got in the match or if they mention it. So man, it was certainly great to see Spike Dudley. So again, so you know, basically, I mean, the last time in action, the Hardy Boys defeated Dark State October 7th to become the NXT Tag Team Champions. So Team 3D defeated the Desi Hit Squad at Impact Wrestling 1000 in September of 2023. So this is how, okay, so okay, you know, two of the greatest tag teams in professional wrestling clashed one final time with the NXT and TNA tag team titles on the line as the Hardy Boys and Dudley Boys wrote the final chapter of their epic rivalry. Man. Now, I love how, okay, you know, check this out. Bleacher Report describing this, and I quote, "It was rarely pretty, nor did it have the energy that the generation-defining matches did 25 years ago. But the match was a collection of greatest hit spots that provided all of the fan service anyone could have asked out of the duos." Well, obviously, these guys can't work the same way they did 25 years ago. I mean, these guys are older now. I mean, both the Hardy Boys, I mean, well, Jeff Hardy is in his late 40s and Matt Hardy is in his 50s now. Right? So yeah, and Bubba Ray and Devon are both in their 50s. So yeah, obviously, it didn't have the energy that this generation defining matches did 25 years ago. But I still think it was, I mean, this match got an A+ with 5+. So man. But here, check this out. In the top moments and takeaways of Corona Bleacher Report, Spike Dudley arrived and gave Bubba Ray and Devon their trademark Dudley glasses. Wow. Wow. And there was absolutely no one expecting this to be a 5-star affair or to rewrite what it means to be pro wrestling in 2025. It was instead a nod to contribution the Hardys and Dudleys provided the industry as revolutionaries and game changers. It was one last opportunity for fans to enjoy one of the greatest and most important rivalries in the industry that the industry has seen over the last quarter century. Was everything pretty? No. But you cannot account for emotion, and it was all over this one, unquote. Well said, Bleacher Report. Absolutely well said. Well, according to this, it doesn't say that Spike Dudley got involved in the match. But again, if you're listening on Spotify, I mean, let me know in the comments if he got involved or not. Man, Jeff Hardy delivering a swanton bomb from the top of the ladder that drove Devon through a table and effectively left Bubba to fend for himself. Inevitably, the Hardys drove him through a table for the win, a successful title defense. Man, but it's what happened at the end of the match that, I am not going to lie, I was crying. I was in tears. The Hardy Boys helped the Dudleys, helped Bubba to his feet, and Devon joined in on the festivities, as Bleacher Report describes it. Man, the fans were chanting thank you to all four competitors. I mean, when I saw that, I re-quoted these tweets twice to thank Bubba Ray, Devon, Matt, and Jeff. You know, twice, you know, I'm so thankful and grateful for everything that those four have provided for the industry during their careers. And of course, I forgot to mention Spike Dudley in those tweets, but then I kind of looked at, I don't think he's on Twitter, but you know what? If I'm going to thank the Hardy Boys and the Dudleys, if I'm going to thank Matt and Jeff, Bubba and Devon, you know what? Might as well thank Spike Dudley as well. I'm so grateful for all of them. Man, and seeing all four guys embrace, I mean, I think when they embraced, I mean, Spike Dudley wasn't, I mean, there was a video on Twitter, but Spike Dudley didn't appear. But seeing the Hardy boys and the Dudley boys, you know, have that moment with all the real emotions, man, the Dudley boys removed their boots and handed them to the Hardys, signifying the end of their run. That means, yeah, the Dudley boys, Team 3D, it's over. It's over. Again, now, as far as Bully Ray goes, I'm not sure if Bully Ray himself is officially retired as a singles wrestler, but now, as far as the Dudley boys go, yeah, the Dudley boys tag team is done. It's done. Again, Devon, I mean, this was, again, Devon's last match. So, but as far as Bully Ray goes, I'm not sure exactly what the future has in store for him, but as far as I'm concerned, obviously, again, we saw the end of the Dudleys, but as far as Bully Ray goes, I'm not sure if he's actually done. Well, it says here, I mean, according to AI, it says, yeah, Bully Ray has retired from professional wrestling with his final match occurring October 12, 2025. So, well, according to the Sportster, yeah, so I guess, so at first I thought, okay, this is just the end of the Dudley boys. So the Dudley boys tag team is done, but based on what I'm reading is that, well, that Bully Ray too has retired as a wrestler as well. Now they're both not. They're not. Now Bully Ray will still work in the business. I mean, and he'll still work on his show Busted Open and still give some insight and everything. So Bully Ray will still be heavily involved with the business, but as a performer, I guess, you know, Bully Ray is done as well. So according to Matthew Guyot of the Sportster, he starts out by saying that Bubba Ray Dudley and Devon Dudley have indicated that they have retired from in-ring wrestling following their loss to the Hardy Boys at TNA Bound for Glory on Sunday. Man. So again, I wasn't sure if it was just Team 3D or, you know, the Dudleys retiring as a team, but man. Well, you know, imagine that, you know, the post-match interaction between the two teams had fans weeping as they embraced before the Dudley boys handed their boots to their opponents. Spike Dudley arrived ringside at the start of the match to only further indicate that this was the last hurrah for his brothers. And Bully Ray said, you know, put out a tweet, which I quoted and I said thank you to him as well. He said, and I quote, "Thank you, the end, hashtag TNA Bound for Glory." There's a picture of him and Devon, arms around each other's shoulder, walking back up the entrance ramp. And Wow. Man, Bubba Ray, 54, Devon is 53. 8-time tag team champions in the WWE and ECW, held the TNA tag team titles twice, competed in New Japan, becoming 2-time IWGP tag team champions. Of course, they both embarked on solo careers. Bully Ray, man, the Dudley boys, just, my God. I'm just so thankful. I mean, I've watched so much of what the Dudleys have done. I mean, I've watched film from their days at ECW. I've seen some of the stuff they did in Japan and TNA wrestling. I mean, I've witnessed the Dudleys be so successful for the past 25 plus years. And I'm so, so grateful. So once again, I want to close it out by saying, Matt, Jeff, Bubba, Devon, and Spike, thank y'all so much for everything. God bless all of you. I love y'all. Thank y'all very, very much. And again, even Spike Dudley, you know, deserves recognition in this one. But again, you know, everybody like that, you know, we thank Matt and Jeff and Bubba and Devon. You know what? We should thank Spike as well. So all those gentlemen, thank you for everything. And now that, I guess, it seems clear that Bubba Ray has retired as well, and Devon has officially, and Devon's retired as well, so both those guys are retired. Well, gentlemen, I wish you luck in your future, and again, I'm so thankful for everything. And you know what? I can't thank you all enough, and whatever the future has in store for the Hardy Boys, well, I'm here, and I'll talk about it on this program. Ladies and gentlemen, Ringside Chaos is available on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and iHeartRadio. If you would please hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way I know for sure that that you're not going to miss out on any exciting upcoming content. If you have a family member or a friend that loves professional wrestling, well, please do me a favor, tell them about Ringside Chaos, because Ringside Chaos is the show for them. Thank y'all very, very much. Once again, to the Dudley boys, to the Hardy boys, thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Bubba. Thank you, Devon. And thank you, Spike. Thank you, gentlemen, for everything. I love y'all. God bless.